everything, though of fortune he be so limited that he can attain but a few, there arises thence a dislike in men's minds, and a loathing of the things they enjoy, which causes them to blame the times present and commend those past, as also those that are to come, although they have no motives grounded upon reason to incite them thereto. Niccolò Machiavelli. Discorsi sopra la prima decca di Tito Livio. Translation Edward Dacres, 1636. O human mind, insatiable and vain, fraudulent, fickle, and above all things, impious, malignant, full of quick disdain. Niccolò Machiavelli, Tercets on Ambition. From whence, then, arises that emulation which runs through all the different ranks of men, and what are the advantages which we propose by that great purpose of human life which we call bettering our condition? To be observed, to be attended to be taken notice of with sympathy, complacency, and approbation are all the advantages which we can propose to derive from it. It is the vanity, not the ease or the pleasure, which interests us. Adam Smith, The Theory of Moral Sentiments, 1759. The principle which prompts to save is the desire of bettering our condition, a desire which, though generally calm and dispassionate, comes with us from the womb and never leaves us until we go into the grave. In the whole interval which separates those two moments, there is scarce perhaps a single instant in which any man is so perfectly and completely satisfied with his situation as to be without any wish of alteration or improvement of any kind. An augmentation of fortune is the means by which the greater part of men propose and wish to better their condition. Adam Smith, An Inquiry into the Nature and Causes of the Wealth of Nations, 1776. To the Reader. William Percy's The Complete Swimmer, 1658, begins, as I do, by addressing the ingenious, prudent, and self-preserving reader. For Percy, there are two only chief ends, which are the only inducements to all actions in the whole world, and these are pleasure and profit. Yea, these are the main and only objects whereupon all creatures, animal or rational, fix their eyes. The wheels upon with which all our actions turn, as the universe doth upon the axle tree, these are the magnets or lodestones that attract all our thoughts and actions to themselves as their center. The Complete Swimmer is only the second book in English which aims to teach the reader how to swim. The only people who would normally read it now are scholars interested in the early history of swimming as a sport, which is to say, hardly anyone at all. We know nothing about its author, but it is safe to assume that he was not intending to make a particularly contentious claim when he insisted that all human activities are motivated by either pleasure or profit. Pleasure and profit were often coupled together. Scholars, for example, read for pleasure and profit. But never before Percy, as far as I can tell, were they claimed to be the only motivations, to the exclusion of all others, such as honor, virtue, and piety. Whether he intended to or not, Percy was presenting a new account of what it is to be a human being. He even went so far as to suggest that human beings are little different from the animals. Doth not the indefatigable emmet, or ant, keep still exercising his restless motion all the summer, that he may enjoy the pleasure and profit thereof in his low roof, but to himself and his unaspiring thoughts a delightful palace? What incessant pains takes the laborious bee, that she may enjoy the sweetness of the honey in the artificial chambers of her well-wrought castle? Herein consists pleasure and profit both, sed quid moraristis, but why do I linger over such examples? The prudent and industrious merchant roams far and near, spares neither cost nor pains, danger, care, nor trouble, and all for the sacred hunger of gold. Therein consists both his pleasure and profit too. Nay, the toil-embracing husbandman, or farmer, merrily whistles along the tediousness of his painful furrows, in hopes to rejoice in a fruitful harvest. He may well have had classical philosophers such as Epicurus and Lucretius in mind, but no classical philosopher, and indeed no medieval theologian, had praised hard labor in this way, or taken economic activity as the paradigmatic example of rational activity. Something new is happening here, yet Percy seems quite unaware of it and assumes that his readers will think as he does. Percy is an early example of the conviction that human beings, and animals too, are always engaged in the pursuit either of immediate pleasure or of the means to future pleasure. His view of human nature is reminiscent of Thomas Hobbes, who had published